Scripture reading this morning will be 1 Timothy 3, 8 through 13, and then also Acts 6, 1 through 7. So if you're willing and able, please stand for the reading of God's Word. First Timothy 3:8-13. Deacons, likewise, must be men of dignity, not double-tongued or addicted to much wine or fond of sordid gain, but holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. And let these also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons if they are beyond reproach. Women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be husbands of only one wife, and good managers of their children and their own households. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a high standing and great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. And then over to Acts chapter 6. 1-7. Now at this time the disciples were increasing in number. A complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. And the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. But select from among you, brethren, 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the statement found approval with the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. And these they brought before the apostles, and after praying, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God kept on spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. This ends the reading of God's word. Please be seated. Please pray with me. O Lord, we thank you so much for the love that you have for us. Lord, we thank you for the great love that you have for your church. Lord, we pray that you would teach us this morning from your word. Lord, I pray that my error, that the words that I speak that are not right would be forgotten, would not be held to, but Lord, that we would hold to your truth. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand and to grow in wisdom this morning as we look at your word. Lord, we ask that you would teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we looked at how God cares for his church through elders, and how God has given the church elders to teach and preach the word of God, to shepherd the souls of his people. And now this week, we will look at how God cares for his church, part two, through deacons. Elders and deacons are the two recognized offices within the church. Paul, in verse 1 of Philippians, identifies this as he addresses his letter to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons. And so a local church should have elders. A local church should have deacons. And although these two positions have many distinctions, their roles are different. They're really working together for the same purpose, for building up the body of Christ to be a mature and healthy church. Now, I also want to point out here that although these verses are speaking of elders and deacons specifically, there is this, a sense in which really this is for all of us, for all of the church of Christ. Every Christian should resemble more and more the qualifications listed for elders and deacons. Again, all of us should be concerned for the spiritual welfare of the body of Christ, as well as the physical needs in the body of Christ. And certainly we should all be involved in meeting these needs in the local church here at Coram Deo. Now, as we look mainly this morning at deacons, but at deacons and elders, just like last week, I want you to see how much God loves His church. Remember, these are the people whom Christ died for and whom He continues to care for. God gives the local church leaders. He gives a structure. You see, the local church isn't to be some unorganized group of people who come and go and do as they please. But God has given the church order, structure, and accountability. And He has given the church leaders responsibilities. So the better we understand the different roles in the church, the more we will know how God wants us to function as a church. And we will see more and more just how much God cares for His church. So the outline this morning has three parts to it. This week we'll spend most of our time going through the first seven verses of Acts 6. And there we will identify these three parts. Number one, the need. We'll see the problem arises in Acts 6. And so first of all, we will look at the need. Secondly, we will look at the solution. The solution to the problem. And then third, the outcome. So turn with me to Acts 6. We'll begin with verse 1 as we consider the need. Now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. First, let me point out just a few observations that we see here. We see that the church is growing. The disciples were increasing in number. We also see here that the church was giving food to the widows who needed it. Now, last week we looked at how elders' main focus in the church is to focus on the spiritual health of the flock, both protecting from harm and feeding the sheep spiritual food. But we see here that God is not only interested in meeting our spiritual needs, but our physical needs as well. God cares for the physical needs of His people. You see, local churches must not think that our only responsibility is to preach the gospel, is to minister to the souls of God's people. When someone comes to the local church for help, it would be horribly wrong of us to say, we're just here to preach the gospel. If you have a spiritual need, we're here to help. But if you have physical needs, well then you need to go apply for some government program to assist you. That would be horribly wrong. When Jesus was here, he did not just meet the spiritual needs of the people, but he met their physical needs as well. He fed them physical food when they were hungry. He not only brought healing to their souls, but he healed their bodies. He healed their diseases. And so we see here in Acts that the church should not just be concerned with the spiritual needs of the people, but physical needs as well. This is just one of the many ways that we show the love of Christ to others, is meeting their physical needs. And so we see that they're functioning well here as a church, living out James 2, 15 through 16, which says, if a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? So to begin with, in Acts 6, we see that the church is doing some things right here. And yet, there are still needs. A problem arises. Some of the widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. And so there's some complaining going on. You see, some of the widows are being taken care of well, but others were not getting the help they needed. So this was the need that the church was dealing with. And it was a physical need. Now, certainly all churches do not have the same needs. We, right now, at Coram Deo, we do not have widows who need help. At least not at the moment. But we have other needs that they didn't have in Acts. You see, they probably didn't have a building like we do today. And what a blessing it is. And yet, there are needs that come with it. There are problems. Some of the physical needs that we have here at Coram Deo. You know, because of this building, there's maintenance. There's cleaning that needs done. Mowing. You know, they didn't have a sound system in Acts that needed taken care of, managed. Sermons to record. So there are many needs that we have. Many needs of a local church. Supplies to buy. Communion to set up. The list goes on and on. But every church has different needs. And they can change. Certainly new needs can literally arise overnight. But we see here in Acts that the need that they had was a physical need. Widows needed food. And so this is the need. It's a physical need. And what is the solution? Number two, the solution. In verses 2 through 6. And the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, it is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. But select from among you, brethren, 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the statement found approval with the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. And these they brought before the apostles, and after praying, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God kept on spreading. Excuse me. I'll stop there in 6. So the solution is to appoint deacons to take care of these physical needs in the church. I believe that the solution of appointing deacons shows us many things. First of all, it shows us that men have weaknesses. You see, elders cannot do everything that needs done, even if they wanted to. There is a limit. We see here that for them to do one more thing would mean that something that they had already been doing would have to be left undone. Also, we see here in the appointing of deacons, it shows us God's perfect design for His church. It is a cooperative effort from many different members to be involved in meeting the needs of God's people. You see, God doesn't just give one man all the talent and expect him to do all the work. But God has gifted many different people within the local church. He's given us different gifts so that the church is at its best when each one is doing their part. Also, we see in appointing deacons, not only does it show that God is concerned for the physical needs of the church, but it also re-emphasizes everything we looked at last week. It re-emphasizes how important it is to God that the spiritual needs of the church are not neglected. Why shouldn't the elders just go ahead and take care of the physical needs as well? Because God is serious about elders shepherding the church spiritually. God does not want the church to suffer spiritually because the elders got so preoccupied with meeting the physical needs that they neglected the Word of God. You see, God wants elders to be so focused on prayer and the ministry of the Word that He does not want them distracted by trying to meet these other needs, even though they are important as well. So you can see, through the appointing of deacons, how much God cares for His church. He is not only providing the physical needs of the church, but He's also protecting the church from spiritual damage that is sure to come if the elders take time to do it all themselves. And so we see here that 7 men were selected for this job. While the exact number of deacons is not vitally important, I do think that plurality of deacons is always best. Others to share the load, others to keep you accountable. There are many, many benefits to having a plurality of deacons. And we need more than just one here at Coram Deo. We see here in verse 3 that these men were from within the local church. And they were men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom. Please turn with me back to 1 Timothy 3. And let's look at the qualifications for deacons. Deacons likewise must be men of dignity, not double-tongued or addicted to much wine or fond of sordid gain, but holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. And let these also be tested. let them serve as deacons if they are beyond reproach. Women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be husbands of only one wife, and good managers of their children and their own household. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a high standing and great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. So here we see that the qualifications for deacons are very similar to the qualifications we looked at last week for elders. Both are to be exemplary Christians, leading lives of self-control and dignity. The deacon is not to be fond of sordid gain. Certainly none of us should be fond of sordid gain. But all the more important, it would cause great problems. Certainly in Acts, as these deacons would have been taking the finances of the church and getting food for these widows, there is great potential for corruption if they were fond of sordid gain. So in verse 9, we see that deacons must live out their faith. Again, it's not enough to have a good profession of faith. His life has to testify of his faith in Christ. Then in verse 10, we see that deacons must be men of character. His overall character and reputation must be generally blameless, beyond reproach. A deacon should be tested or examined. This would be looking at their past history. How have they been serving the church already? The moral and spiritual maturity should be considered. Then in verse 11 and 12, we see that the deacon's home should be in order. His family should be well managed. He should be the spiritual leader of his household. Now, some would like to think that verse 11 here justifies having women as deacons. But I believe that this is referring to the character of a deacon's wife. It would be a great hindrance and cause many problems in the church for a deacon to have a wife that was not dignified, that was always gossiping, if she had little self-control. Certainly, to have this poor character is bad for anyone to have in the church, but it would be all the more destructive for the wife of a deacon, or an elder for that matter. So a deacon's wife must be of good character as well, so that she can be a help and not a hindrance to her husband and his ministry. One of the main differences between elder and deacon qualifications is that the deacon is not required to be able to teach. Certainly, he must be teaching his family at home, but it is not a requirement. He could preach, he could teach in the local church, but that would not be part of his role as a deacon, and thus not a requirement for him to be a deacon. And so first we see here in Acts, we see the need. We see the problem arises. There are physical needs that need taken care of in the church. And they are important. They need to be met. And then we see in number 2, we see that the solution is deacons, appointing men to take care of these physical needs. Elders must not neglect their spiritual duties in order to meet these physical needs. So men of good faith and character are put in charge of these tasks. So now, number 3, what is the outcome? Verse 7 in Acts 6. And the word of God kept on spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. What a glorious example we have here in Acts 6 of how a church should function. The church was committed to preaching the word of God. They were trying to take care of these widows' needs, and they were growing in numbers. And they had problems come up, physical needs that they were faced with. And we see that they found the right solution. A solution that not only met the physical needs of these widows that were being overlooked, but it met the need without compromising the spiritual condition of the church. So now the church has deacons, and the widows were better cared for. And the word of God kept on spreading. You see, it didn't hinder the body spiritually. And the number of the disciples continued to increase. So the problem was physical needs. The solution was deacons, and the outcome is a healthy church. Turn with me to Ephesians 4. Now I know we read this last week, but this is the outcome in the church. When each member exercises their gifts properly, the body is built up. The church is healthy. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him, who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. The outcome is great when elders stay focused on shepherding the souls of God's people, and when the deacons take care of the physical and logistical needs of the church. The outcome is a healthy church. Now you may say, well, that's great, but I'm not an elder or a deacon. But everyone's role is important. Listen, you don't have to be an elder to make an impact on everyone's life here spiritually, encouraging them, bringing their attention to spiritual things. Likewise, you don't have to be a deacon to meet the physical needs in the church. There is so much to be done. There are so many ways to help. There are plenty of ways for all of us to serve in building up the body of Christ. And that includes you children. Listen, you children can make a great impact on this church. You children have no idea how much God can use you in this church. How you behave, your attitude, what you talk about, what you're encouraging, the example that you're setting. Listen, God can use you in the conversations you have, in convicting others of sin, in encouraging them to obey the Lord, to walk in faith. So children, don't say, I can't wait till I can grow up so I can serve the Lord. Serve Him now. Serve Him now. Be faithful in the small things and serve Him now. So we've spent this week and last looking at the role of elders and deacons in the local church. But understand that we all have an important role to play in the local church. So in conclusion, elders are to shepherd the church spiritually. They are to tend to the souls of God's people, being devoted to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Deacons are servants. They are to serve the body, taking care of the physical and logistical needs of the church, so that the elders can concentrate on their primary calling. This is God's design for the local church. This is how He has set it up. This isn't just the best John and I could come up with. We'll just have some elders and let's get some deacons to do this. This is God's plan, His design. No one cares more about His church than He does. God cares for His church. Praise God. He cares so much for us. May we all grow in our affection for God and for His church. Let's pray. Oh Lord, You take care of us so well. Lord, Your design for caring for the local church is perfect. Lord, we are not perfect men. We are not perfect people. Lord, we do not fulfill these ministries perfectly. But Lord, through the roles that You have set up in the church, we see how much You care for Your church. And Lord, we thank You. And Lord, we pray that as we seek to please You and not ourselves, Lord, that we would grow more and more in our affection for You and for the church You love. Lord, I thank You for the way that You are building this body. Lord, I thank You for the families that You have brought. I thank You, Lord, that You are bringing us together in unity around Christ. Lord, I pray that You would just help us as a local church to please You, to honor You in how we function. For John and I as elders, for Brad as a deacon, for the whole body as we seek to exercise our gifts in a way that honors You, for the building up of the body of Christ. Lord, we thank You for Your love for us. We pray that You would continue to bless and care for Your local church. Lord, not only here, but across the world. All the needs there are, many different needs in different places. Lord, we pray you would be meeting those needs, that you would be raising up, giving gifts, that you would be raising up people to care for your church. May your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.